We're continuing to look at the latter half of Hebrews 10. Today we're looking at the last two verses, 38 and 39. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. For we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. The first half of verse 38 comes from Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk was a contemporary of Jeremiah, a devout, God-fearing person, who was saddened and troubled by what was happening in Israel, and how the people had turned away from God. Uniquely for a prophet, his book was not him passing on the word of the Lord for Israel, but a dialogue between him and God. Habakkuk argues with God over his ways that appear unfathomable and even unjust. Having received replies from God, he responds with a beautiful confession of faith. New Testament writers use this verse to support the teaching we are justified by faith, not by works. Appears in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Ephesians 2:8, as well as here in Hebrews. Drawing parallels between the national deliverance of Israel and the spiritual deliverance or salvation. So how easy do you find it to live by faith? Jesus said, if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I often think, if only I had more faith, I would see this person healed, or that situation transformed, or this mountain in my life turned into a molehill. But faith is not just seeing the miraculous. In James, we're told to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Living by faith is not just seeing God move miraculously and smoothing the way for us. It's about knowing our loving Father is beside us, holding our right hand and guiding us through life. Whatever life may throw at us, whatever mountains may appear, he will never leave us and will give us the strength to endure. On our website in the section on joining God's mission, one of our statements is exploiting the ordinary, but be ready for the extraordinary. Be ready for God to miraculously transform a situation, but know that he will never leave you and is there guiding you. I've seen God move miraculously in my life, not least with my two beautiful daughters. For those who don't know, Isabella was born 10 weeks premature, and Sophie, although full term, was born with viral meningitis. Sue and I knew God was with us at the time, and the fact they have grown into amazing young women is because of him. The consultant who saw Sophie until she was 18 months old kept marvelling how normal she was, despite of everything she'd been through. But how has your faith been during the pandemic? When I first heard of this new disease spreading through Wuhan, China, I fully expected it to be like SARS and MERS, and while a tragedy for those in China and the surrounding countries it spread to, it would not have a direct effect on my life. Then there was the first case in the UK, and I hoped the NHS would treat successfully those who caught it. With sensible measures, the spread would be contained, much like the person who came back from West Africa with Ebola and was successfully treated, and there were no further cases. Then the first lockdown was announced, and even then I thought, give it 3 months and then we'll be on top of it, and things will get back to normal. It was during the summer of 2020 I was challenged. Where is my hope in this? Was it on the fact that it started on the other side of the world, or that our government would respond well, or that there was a vaccine coming? Or was my hope in a loving Father who was holding my right hand and walking through this with me? Of course, the vaccine arrived. I'm hugely thankful to the scientists around the world who used their God-given talents to develop the vaccines. Yesterday, Sophie and Toby had their second shot. Nate Saint was a pilot and a missionary. John and Pam will know of him, as might some of the rest of you. He, along with four other missionaries, was killed by the indigenous people they were trying to reach for Christ, who lived in the Amazon rainforest in Ecuador. Nate is listed on the MAF website and credited with inventing the bucket drop and the dual injection engine. As a kid, I remember reading a story about him. The bees in Ecuador like to nest in the fuel system of aeroplanes. The first you knew they were there was when the engine stopped because it was starved of fuel. It could happen when the plane was on the ground, but could also happen when it was midway through a flight over dense jungle. Crash landing in the jungle is not recommended. If you do survive the landing, then you have to walk out of the jungle to find help, possibly more difficult than surviving the crash landing. Nate came up with an idea of running another fuel line between the fuel tank and the engine, which could be operated in the cockpit, so when the engine started to splutter, you could switch to this backup system and keep the plane flying to the nearest airstrip. Someone asked him why he did not have faith in God to keep him safe. Nate's response was he did have faith in God, but he also believed that God had given him gifts and talents, and why would he not implement an idea that made things safer for him and those he was flying? His faith was not in his ability as a pilot and how mechanically sound his plane was. His faith was in God, but he would do all the sensible things within his control to make things as safe as he could. There is a difference in having the vaccine and your hope being in it. As we saw in December last year, a new variant appeared that it was feared would escape the vaccine. Fortunately, with a booster, it did not. As we live by faith, we should be following Jesus' commands. When he returned to heaven, he left the disciples with the great commandment to love God and our neighbours as ourselves, and the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If we live by faith, part of our witness will be through how we live our life and how we deal with the circumstances life throws at us. But how do we respond when friends, neighbours or family are terminally ill or facing a difficult situation? Yes, we're sympathetic. We help practically in what ways we can. But how do we bring hope to the situation? Are we ready to pray for their healing? It's surprising how touched people are when you offer to pray to your God about their problems. In the latter half of 2020, I did a series of short talks titled ACORN. Anyone remember what they stood for? I had to look it up. Ask, connect, obey, relay, next. We intentionally seek the promptings of the Spirit by asking, who are you putting on my heart today, Lord? We then connect with that person and obey the prompting of the Spirit for them. Maybe praying for them, maybe a word for them. Telling others the story, other Christians the story, encourages the rest of us and allows us to pray for the situation. And then we seek God for what is next. Maybe someone new, maybe the next step for that person. Living by faith and not shrinking back is about realising our loving Father is our hope, and he is beside us, holding our hand and guiding us through life. Once we have our focus right, we can look out, as the Spirit prompts us, to our friends, neighbours, family and work colleagues, loving them and sharing the good news about Jesus, as we were told to when he returned at the end of his ministry.